Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Leading Together podcast. And today we're going to be having another discussion episode with Pastor Gilbert Foliente. And we're going to be talking about social responsibility. What does it mean for us as a church? Why do we do it? Why is it important for us? And how do we do it? And how can our actual leaders be part of it? I'm Ryan. I'm part of our staff in Victory in Every Nation Philippines. We hope this podcast helps you lead better together. Hey, Pastor Gilbert.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, everyone. And we have here our executive director of our Real Life Foundation, May Perez. May.
Hello, hey, Miss May.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello. And I think a lot of people don't know about this. Miss May is also the National Disaster Relief Coordinator for Victory and Every Nation Philippines all across the Philippines.
So, May, that's official now.
Okay. I'm sorry, this is an announcement. So, that's why a lot of people don't know about it. Only a few of us know about it. Once in a while, when something's happening, we just take the cue from Miss May, from our communications department.
You know why? Because May, I remember May when we said, oh, ikaw na to, May. Because we don't even have to ask her.
Wow.
She just does it. Every time there's a disaster somewhere, she would just ask us, what are we doing? How can I help? And so we officially designated her. You're now the director.
Parang touch move lang yan.
Sir Gilbert.
Ikaw na.
You ask, ikaw na.
But that's what I love about May. I mean, her heart just to serve in whatever capacity those who will go through pain, suffering, yeah. People who need help. And that's your heart, May. So we're so grateful for you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Gilbert. My privilege.
Yeah. And we're so glad, we're so excited to hear a lot about what we're doing. Of course, with the Relay Foundation and with the other things that we're doing in social responsibility. Like we were discussing before this podcast, before this recording, that it's such a common term. Everyone's doing it. Companies are doing it. There's social entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Everyone's doing these kinds of things. What does that mean for us? And of course, it's always been like sort of connected with us anyway as a church.
Yes, it's part of our mission statement in Every Nation. We say we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered. And we all know Christ-centered, we talk about that. We know Spirit Empowered, Bishop Manny has a book, Spirit Empowered Prayer. But then the third descriptor of our ministry is socially responsible. So it's kind of a part of who we are, should be, if you're a church, if you're a campus ministry. And it's very important for us, not just because it's almost like a fad now, diba?
I mean,
we've got famous personalities who are into that. We've got philanthropists who are into that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the reason why we're into it, why we want to be socially responsible, is really because of God's heart. All throughout the Bible, you will never miss it. God's heart is for the lost, so we know that. We evangelize, we preach the gospel, but also for the last and the least. Mm. The lost, the last, and the least. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, let me read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. It says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner or the foreigner, the alien, giving him food and clothing. So if you look at that verse, that's the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. People who don't have much, people were poor, people were marginalized, people would never have any kind of help in society. Mm-hmm. And God says, that's my heart. I'm thinking about them. I love them. And that's the reason why we want to do everything in our power to be able to help those who fall into this category. I'm sure that's your heart, May, as we've seen all along.
That's true, Pastor Gilbert. You know, it's really understanding that we've been placed in this earth by God to be His hands and feet to those who really need help. Mm. And you don't even do it in a big scale. Yeah. Just individually, as a person, as Christians, yeah. I really do believe that we each have a responsibility. It's a moral obligation before the Lord to just really have that compassion like Jesus to see the ones who are hurting, the ones who are in need, and just extend that help that we can to them.
Yeah, I hope this social responsibility thing goes beyond a mission statement for us. If you're a campus missionary hearing this, a staff, a pastor, but that it would be God's heart being imparted to us. We've received so much from God. I mean, yeah. God rescued us. God helped us. God has been generous to us. And we just want to reflect that heart of God to people who are hurting and suffering. So that's why it's so important.
Wow. And there are there are different expressions of what this means for us. I mean, if you say social responsibility to anyone, I think that can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for us, is there a way of us like saying that one, we're going to do that one, this one, like for example, in real life, we're going to help the scholars. How do we do this?
Yes. I mean, we've always helped. One of the things that I love since 1984 is we've always helped during disasters. Magkaroon ng disaster, parang tama ba may, I think it's accurate, we're one of the first groups of people were there, diba? Alala ko 1990, the big earthquake in Baguio, we were one of the first. Yolanda, of course, Ondoy. I mean, earthquake, but whatever happens, even the smaller disasters, if you may. Sa Los Baños, I remember, nagkaroon ng fire in one dorm.
Yes.
And the very first organization that the chancellor and even the mayor went to is our church in Los Baños because they knew we were always ready to help. So we've always helped pagka may mga disasters, mayroong natural calamities that happen. So we're always there. One of the things that May is also involved in, and you've seen May, I'm sure, yung love the city natin.
That's right.
Churches natin all over the nation. Diba?
Nakakatuwa. That everyone, all the pastors, would just really take the initiative to see what the need of the community is and immediately just respond to that. And even without that immediate need that a disaster would call for, yung alam na na, yung nararamdaman yung pulso ng community na ano yung kailangan nila sa mga panahong to. I do remember there was a time yung usap ng mga tukhang. There were those that were able to get rehabilitated.
Mm-hmm.
And that our church would come in there and help those meet their need. Like Christmas, first time nila magpapasko, they just came from being rehabilitated. How do we show them Jesus' love for them? Mm-hmm. That even if they made a mistake maybe in the past for whatever reason, but yet there's so much love that God has for them. Mm-hmm. And it will take kasi us, people of God, to actually do that and make them feel the love of God. That's really the bottom line. And we've seen all, talagang literally all our churches, not just in Metro Manila, but even in the provinces, just really organize themselves, everyone just coming together to support that. Because we know the impact that it makes in the hearts of people. When they're in the deepest, in the most difficult situation in life, and nandun ka.
Yep.
And it can only be, you know, even for the ones who are doing it, it's only by the grace of God.
Mm.
And for those receiving it, it's a tangible expression of that love of God.
I remember here in Victory Fort, Pastor Paolo, during the pandemic, he was thinking about our frontliners.
Yeah.
So during the time, grabe, diba? Heroes, if you're a frontliner, shout out to you for the past couple of years. Pastor Paolo had been thinking about that, so we met and we said, why don't we open our facility to them?
Yeah.
Give them a place to stay in, malapit lang, and then feed them. And again, that's happening all over. So I'm really blessed to be a part, to be friends with people who's got this heart. Tapos I'm sure lahat din tayo merong a personal advocacy of burdens. My wife, si Kathy, ang dream niya magka-orphanage. Diba? Talaga, nice. we have our pastor in Bulacan, Pastor Eric. They're starting an orphanage. Their family starting an orphanage. Sabi namin, oh, we want to sow there because someday baka mag orphanage si Cathy. So there's many ways. And I'm sure our campus missionaries, our staff, our leaders who are listening to this, I'm sure you guys are involved in a lot of ways to bring the love of God in a very tangible way to those who need it. But for us as a ministry, we thought, I'm not sure if we thought. It just happened.
Kayo, you thought.
It just happened. But looking back, we know most of our efforts, strategically as a church and as a ministry, when it comes to social responsibility, is through real life. And that's why I'm so thankful for May. Of course, so thankful for those who've labored before her.
Yes.
I mean, she's going to talk about that later on. Pero talagang, for me, when I listen to what Real Life is doing with the marginalized youth of our nation, sobrang privilege for us to be able to partner with them. So,
yeah.
Real Life, May. Paano nga ba nag-start ang Real Life, May? Bakit nga ba Real Life?
Well, Pastor Gilbert, before I even answer your question, no, I know you mentioned it's good to partner with Real Life. I totally understand what you meant by that, Pastor Gilbert, but I wanna say this to our pastors, our campus missionaries. You don't partner with Real Life. You are a part of Real Life.
Yes.
This is who you are. This is who God's called us to be.
Wow.
This is the mission. And expression lang yon ang Real Life. Bakit Real Life? I'm so grateful for our leaders who really thought of doing this. Because really, our mission is to the next generation. God's called us to reach the next generation and really lead them to Jesus. And through Real Life, we're able to reach the marginalized, yung malapit sa puso ng Panginoon. And they're the next generation. Ang maganda dito, these students, they're young, they are smart. It just so happened that in life, they're financially disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so, us being able to come in there and help them financially is a huge thing for them. It brings hope to their families. Yung hindi nila ma-imagine paano kami mag-aaral, paano sila pag-aaralin ng magulang nila. And then here we are being able to help them. Now, part of the program is that we're able to coach these scholars. It's not just the financial assistance. Ang pinakamahalaga talaga is really the coaching that we provide through our campus missionaries. So kayo to, mga campus missionaries natin. And so, it's, you know, what do you do with students who are smart and now you're able to mold their characters to be Christ-like, to really have these values that are so critical, especially nowadays, di ba?
Oh, yeah.
But that's why it's so important that we are true to what God's called us to do through Real Life, to not just help them financially, but really coach them and mold their characters to be Christ-like. Because then they will really be the future leaders of our nation. Totoo tayo sa sinasabi nating, ito na, we believe, you're the next generation. Kayo na yung leaders nito. Pero anong klaseng leaders ang nilo-launch natin sa society natin? And I do believe, personally, that it is we're accountable to God for this eh. And nakakatuwa lang that we all are given the opportunity to steward these kids, these students that God has entrusted to us in this season. Every year, dadagdag tayo ng scholars. There's more students that we're able to help.
Speaking of, how many scholars do we currently have right now, Ms. Mayor?
We have about more than 1,200 scholars from junior high school all the way to college who are in school right now. We have, that's from, you know, up North Luzon all the way down to Zamboanga. We even have, and we now have, you know, close to 700 alumni. Eh sa atin naman, 700. We celebrate 700, definitely. You can imagine.
Yeah.
Some of them were not with us for just 4 years. Some of us were with us for even 8 years, no? mula high school hanggang college. But to us, the 700 alumni, mm-hmm. 700 lives that are forever changed.
700 families.
Yeah. That's right, Pastor Gil.
I love how May put it. It's a stewardship. Mm-hmm. I love that. Although, of course, at first, before this, I was asking me, May, why Relive? And she said, ano nga sabi mo? Bakit nga ba?
Bakit nga ba?
It almost seemed like, as God would have it, parang hindi natin pinanadate masyado. Yeah. We just want to disciple students. And started with Doc Joey, our pastor in Pasig, who's now our missionary in Brunei. Brunei, right?
Yes.
He was discipling students in Rizal High. Yes. And then he saw them. They couldn't go to church. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't have enough food to eat. So he started from his personal money, mm-hmm. giving them money for them to be able to go to school. So it's really started with campus ministry. Yes. And that's what the stewardship is. Mm-hmm. A stewardship of campus ministry. And then put in the heart of God for the lost, the last, and the least. The people who are marginalized, the people who are poor, and nobody is there to help them. So, parang nagtagpo eh. Yeah. So, we're stewarding this. And that's the reason why was a Real Life, the description is we're socially responsible, but it is campus ministry. Mm.
That's right.
For me, like what you're saying, atin to, diba? This is us. If you're a member of the church, this is what we do. We change the campus, we change the world. And then, in so doing, we're helping the poorest of the poorest students that we have in our nation. So, I love that, May. Stewardship.
Actually, it feels like you'll never know where it's gonna head. It just starts off with contextualization, like what you were doing in Los Baños, what our churches are doing now in different areas. As long as the heart is there, the heart is right in being socially responsible, being on mission, the campus. Si God nantaga yung ano, naglead nung ano. And I guess, how did it eventually become like an NGO? And what is the difference between other NGOs between Real Life?
Sige, dugtong ka na lang yung kwento ni Pastor Gilbert, no? Yung Doc Joey and Doc Tess nga started shelling out money from their own pocket. Kaso lang, in the beginning, they were helping like 1, 2, 3, 5 kids. Mm-hmm. Soon enough, umabot na sa 50 students that they needed to help. And during that time, syempre, because it was personal funds, was difficult for them to have that consistency of the provision for these students. Kasi tuition na, allowance pa nila. Nakakatuwa yung mga kwento nila na dati, pag Sunday daw, dadating na sila doktes. Alam na ng mga scholar, quote-unquote scholar during that time, kung may allowance sila o wala. Kasi pag si doktes daw pumasok ng church at dumiretso sa opisina, naku, sigurado. Yehey, may allowance tayo for the week. Pero pag umikot-ikot lang daw sa church, nag-socialize daw, naku, patay. Wala naman tayong allowance. Bahala na, paano tayo, paano natin itatawid to. And so because of that, no? But yet, our leaders, lalo na sila Pastor Steve, saw already the value of what Doc Joey and Doc Tess were doing. With the help of, you know, church members who were also shelling out money like that, no? To help with the allowance, they decided na, you know, it's high time to incorporate this advocacy to, and then they registered that with the SEC and all of that, to really become a legitimate NGO, and so that's now what's called Real Life Foundation. What sets us apart from other NGOs? That's true, there are a lot of scholarship foundations out there. Kami sa Real Life, we network with other NGOs so that we learn from each other and all of that. And we're seeing that when we compare what we do as we learn from each other, we realize that what sets Real Life apart is the coaching. Because no other, today, to date, no other scholarship foundation provides individual coaching for their students. just real life. In fact, that is what caught the attention of the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't believe when we told them that each of our students, our scholars, have coaches. And like, what? It really blew their wow. mind. And that's why they were even the ones who said, we should partner with you because mm-hmm. what you're doing is something that is needed in all the schools and all the students need what you are offering.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Coaching for character formation and leadership development. Yeah. I love that. And if you boil it down to us as a church, uh-huh. that's really discipleship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you think about what we're doing that sets us apart, it's not just giving them money because you can give money to mm-hmm. people and yet not really change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But when you give money and then disciple them in the ways of God, in the ways of the Bible, follow God, I mean, them being more and more Christ-like, man, kaya ako, ang hope ko pa rin, and again, we just had an election, sorry, may hugot na. We just had an election and we put a lot of hope to whoever we vote for.
Yeah.
And may impact naman talaga yan, pero ang pinakamalaking impact pa rin is discipleship. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Ngayon, we have more than 1,000. We have to.
Yeah.
Can you imagine us doing campus ministry and us doing this? If we can disciple mm-hmm. a generation, a million students
yeah.
whose character will be formed to be more Christ-like, is going to be leading with godly and biblical principles, man. So discipleship and nation building for me, too. I mean, if you really right. think about it, we are doing our part in nation building.
Yeah.
One person at a time,
wow.
one family at a time. So again, I love what we're able to do together.
And the slogan is, change a life, change the nation. And really, and even government institutions are recognizing what you're doing already.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years back, sobrang, that's a highlight for me, May, when the Undersecretary of the Department of DepEd
yeah.
came here, signed the MOA yeah. with us, partnering with us. May, tell us more about that, like how you got in touch with our undersecretary, what he said, what we're doing together.
Yeah. Well, mahaba ng kwento of the miracle of how that even came to be. Dapat ba kinukwento ko sa kanila, Pastor Gilbert?
Dapat yun. Para yung mga...
kami, curious
mga
kami.
May love story. Connected eh.
It was really awesome. We were planning, during that time, 2018, we were thinking... in 2019, we were thinking, how can we get schools to recognize real life and know na, ay, legitimate sila NGO, totoo sila, hindi ito kunyari-kunyari lang. And so we said, we wanted to invite schools to an event, we gather them so that we can introduce ourselves. But you know, lumalapit na yung date ng event, we sent out invitations 6 months ahead of time. We weren't getting any responses. We were getting desperate. Niluluhod na namin kay Lord. Lord, tulungan mo kami, paano mangyayari? We really didn't know. We were trying to get an appointment with Yusek Umali, the DepEd Undersecretary. But they were telling us, he's so busy, it will take you 6 months to get an appointment with him. And then, just when two of our staff, si Riz and si Hazel, had a trip to Tagaytay to do a presentation in one of the schools and in the van that we rented, they were just chatting, nako, paano mangyayaring event natin? Baka walang mag-attend, kunti na lang natin ang chairs. So, nagpa-plan B na sila. And then the driver just overheard them and said, kanino nyo gusto may appointment? Kay Yusek Umali? Sabi niya, sandali lang, tawagan ko. And so, he said, let me call him.
Wow.
He calls him on the phone right there while he's driving. And he goes, hindi ko nasasabi ng pangalan, di ba boss mo yung si Yusek Umali?
Uh-huh.
Sabi niya, ay, opo. Alam mo, kasama ko dito sa sasakyan, mga taga Real Life Foundation. Kailangan daw nila ng appointment sa boss mo, pero nahihirapan sila. Tulungan mo nga sila, isingit mo sila sa schedule. Sabi niya, ay, sige po. Sabi niya, 2 weeks after that, we were in the office of Yusek Umali
wow.
presenting Real Life to him.
Wow.
Here's the other miracle. When we got there, Riz and I were thinking, okay, we'll just introduce Real Life.
Mm-hmm.
Wala tayong sasabihin about our event. Wala tayong sasabihin about partnership. Magpipresent lang talaga tayo. And so we talked to him about what we do, where the students are from, and the coaching. Nung umabot na ako sa point ng coaching, he just stopped me. And he goes, are you serious?
Hmm.
Each of your scholars has a coach? I said, opo. You know, with tears in his eyes. Because I guess the USEC has so much burden also for the students. He said, what you guys are doing is amazing.
Hmm.
We should partner. Wow. So siya ang actually nagsabing, we should partner. Yeah. So, as in, nagtitingin na lang kami ni Riz. And we said, USEC, actually, yun po talaga yung gusto naming hingin sa inyo.
Wow.
And then, we explained to him about us wanting to organize an event and inviting people, but no one's responding. And he said, ay, no, let's send a memo to all the schools, called his secretary in. We'll send a memo to all the schools. Tell them to attend itong event nila ng Real Life Foundation. And you know what? We should sign our MOA during your event. Siya na ang may idea. And then he calls his secretary, make sure that my schedule is clear. I want to be there. I want to speak at your event.
Wow.
It's like everything that we ask of the Lord, we were just, you know, it's a whisper in your heart praying to the Lord. But God does the work.
Mm-hmm.
Does the miracle. And it just all fell into place without us even asking for it. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Regional directors were there during the event. I mean, it was amazing. I met USEC again. He's profusely thanking us for what we do. Man, so such a privilege.
Yeah. What were we able to accomplish during that event?
Well, what it did was, for those who were listening, because we had administrators from more than 100 schools just within Metro Manila.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had City Schools Division officers who were there. And for those who were listening, the endorsement of USEC was like, it just really placed us in a position where, trust these guys, you need them, you want them in your school.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that. And after that, really, doors were just flying open for us to get in there because they now wanted to partner with Real Life and hope that we would get some of our scholars from their schools. No, nakita nila. And really, since then, since the signing of that partnership, we've really jumped from just having like about 2-3 partner schools to now having a whole lot of partner schools today, private and public schools, state universities. Wow.
And how can our leaders be part of what we're doing?
Well, with not just about the partnership, no? Well, unahin natin yung sa partnership ng schools. Saka sakali you're listening to this and you know people who are already in the university. They are in positions, they're in administration, or they personally know people. That's how actually we most of our partnerships now came about. It's really endorsement of church members. Just really, I know somebody. So, and then we just come in to present and, you know, we work that out. But at the same time, even just for, if you're a church member and you want to be a part of what we're doing at Real Life, there's so many opportunities, like one being a coach of the scholars. You have a heart for the next generation. You've been in church, you yourself, you've been discipled. You have the passion to walk through life with them. Need to remember that these students, they're not your normal students na okay ang buhay. You know, when you're financially struggling, there's so much conflict at home.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So most of them come from homes where yung away, yung bubugan, yung hiwalay, that's normal. That's nothing to be surprised about. So, but us coming in there to coach them, for some to even act as like parang parent to them, kuya, ate to them, it's huge. Somebody who will just love them for who they are and accept them. You know, these students, when they begin in the program, they're so insecure because of their financial situation. But the impact of coaching and having people just really sincerely loving them, looking out for them, you know, by the time they leave the program, man, hindi mo isipin, scholar ka ba talaga? Yeah. Grabe ang confidence, wow, sa sarili. True. It's huge. Now, others would, we would have volunteers come, and if you have an expertise in, let's say, you know, whether magaling ka sa project management or time management, or you teach really mga social skills and graces. May mga ganun, personality development and stuff like that. Come, reach out to your local center teams and volunteer and just say, I usually teach this in some companies. I'd like to offer this to the scholars. Because, oh, wow, it's huge. Again, just putting that confidence in them to now have a different perspective about themselves, no? We have some volunteers who come in and tutor our scholars. Mm-hmm. Hindi porket matatalino sila, automatically sa lahat ng subjects nila, they would ace it. Sometimes, mm-hmm, they'd struggle with some subjects. Mm-hmm. And so when they do, what we want is to make sure that they really finish strong. So some people would come in, lalo na mga accounting, yung sa mga accounting scholars natin. Mm-hmm. Mahirap ang accounting, ah. Grabe. Ibang
pwede
klase.
Pwede kang mag-tutor sa accounting.
Pwede. Kawawa naman po.
Yeah, so that's what some of our volunteers, wow, in church would, okay, do. And of course, syempre, financially supporting, yeah, what we do. You know, it doesn't have to be million-million. Pero kung million-million, okay din. Kaya tanggap din namin ng buo sa loob namin.
Okay, hindi napipilitan. No.
Hindi ka lang pilitin, Pastor Gilbert. Pero it's really us just all coming together, giving out of a heart, willingly, mm-hmm, giving it, joyfully, generously giving, understanding the impact that you make. When we collectively come together, it's an effort that we all are able to be a part of, then we're able to help all the 1,200 plus scholars, mm-hmm, from all over the Philippines.
That's the beauty of this. That's why this Leading Together. There's unlimited need. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many more students are, yeah, poor and who cannot afford an education? We've got limited resources, but because we're leading together. Amazing, again, shout out to the Real Life staff, all the volunteers. I mean, amazing. May is just amazing in what they do. But they're not alone. I mean, mm-hmm, just the church community, yun sabi ni May.
Yes.
Just for a coach, a campus missionary or a coach, bringing the scholar to a church community, man, nag-iiba na aspirations, yeah, change. And then, of course, we've got people volunteer their, mm-hmm, time, their effort, donors who give generously. And that's why I really thought this perfect for you to be here, because you're not leading alone. We're leading this together, together with the pastors who are listening, mm-hmm, our campus missionaries, our staff. And the more we do this together, mm-hmm, I think the more we're going to see the impact of what Real Life is doing in the whole nation. Excited ako. I mean, down the road, diba? Pag wala na tayo.
True.
And you've got tens of thousands of scholars, yeah, mm-hmm, finish, wow, and being in the government or in the business sector, maybe the educational sector. Some of our best staff here in every nation in Victory,
mm-hmm, yeah,
are graduates of a Real Life scholar graduate. Mm-hmm. So
I think what I'm getting here at least is definitely in Real Life, when we think of Real Life, there a lot of it is giving, and we're able to give financially. But there are other ways to be part of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And there are opportunities there that a lot of us have within us that we can redirect there if we feel the need to help out and to reach out. What are other ways, or maybe in the future, Ms. May, what's up ahead for Real Life? What else can we like expect, or what are you guys planning eventually?
Well, the dream, our hope is to be able to expand more and grow more. It's not about us. Hindi yun pinagyayabang na, yung dami na naming scholars. Hindi yun. We all understand that the more lives we're able to touch and help tangibly, the more families have hope for a better future. And so that's why our heart is really to reach thousands and thousands of students. And in the farthest places, you know, kung ang victory ngayon ay in 100, ano na Pastor Gilbert?
124 or 25 churches. Yeah.
Dapat in we will have real life in the 125 churches. Mm. And as we continue to just plant churches.
Here, pastors.
Yeah, we should have real life. In fact, it really is a tool for church planting. It is a tool for church planting that you know, you start with these people that you have. And so there's so much potential for us to be able to just expand this work so that we can help more. And of course, we will need the help of everyone coming together, being one with us in, you know, understanding that this is who we are. This is the call of God for all of us here at Every Nation and in Victory.
Wow. And I guess coming off from that, we're really excited for Real Life. And I think a lot of us now hearing this one is really, okay, there are opportunities there more for us. I guess just to shift it a bit, Pastor Gilbert, when it comes to social responsibility, and this is not the only avenue for us as a church, how can we involve or encourage others to be part of what we're doing, and not just with Real Life, but in everything that we're doing as a church?
Yeah, as I've said a while ago, this is God's heart. God's heart is for the lost, the last, and the least. First of all, we have to pray to God as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Lord, give us your heart. I hope that Christianity for us is more than just attending church, doing your religious duties, but really living out the very heart of God, the very values that you find in the Bible, and that's one of those. As a ministry, if you don't have a personal burden of what you do for the lost, the last, and the least, please be involved with Real Life, all of us. I'm involved with Real Life. And if you still have some personal burdens, there's always going to be those who are lost, or last, or least. We've got members who are doing rescuing girls from prostitution. We've got a lot of people doing a lot of different stuff for the marginalized. As I've said, see, Kathy, my wife, still dreams to have an orphanage. I'm not sure if her own orphanage, or she's gonna partner, or she's I mean, yung iba kasi malaki yung gift of mercy and compassion. The others have a bigger gift on that. The others have a lesser gift on that. So if you have a lesser gift on that, just go with people like May. Just sit with May. Before you know it, you're gonna be out there. I mean, I'm living with Kathy. So it's always there in my mind. So we're telling our kids, let's do something. That nobody knows. I think there's value in that. You know, Jesus talk about doing things in secret, where nobody knows, and you're doing things on your own. Maybe it's your kasambahay, di ba? Yung anak niya walang mapunta, hindi pa nakakapag-Real Life, edi ikaw na magbigay, magpaaral ka na. There's so many ways for all of us to be involved, personally and individually. So I hope all of us are involved with Real Life, but if you have no chance to be involved, there's so many ways to be involved in becoming, sabi nga ni May kanina, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ and the reflection of His love for people who are widows, orphans, foreigners, the lost, the last, and the least. So,
wow. Thank you, Pastor Gilbert. Thank you, Miss May. I think this is really a fruitful conversation. Thank you so much. I think that's a key takeaway for us, Pastor Gilbert. Something to just a quick discussion question for everyone. It's just as a follower of Jesus, how can you be an extension of his hands and feet to the people who are in need around you? So that's just something to quickly take away. And another one is, what is my motive whenever I help others? So
those are good questions, for all of us to reflect on.
Thank you, Pastor Gilbert. Thank you, Miss May.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
And all our real life people. Thank you.
Yay! Thank you to all of you.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Leading Together podcast.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.